I have been meaning to talk to you guys for a while, and I just haven't been able to muster up the ability to hit the record button. I know I've wanted to several times over the last few weeks, but something has stopped me. In the beginning, it was very simple, it was very easy. There's been social and economic strife in our country. There's also a pandemic that we're dealing with and all the challenges personally that goes along with that. In addition, there were kids going back to school, and as a society and as a small community, we were dealing about how anybody would re-enter the school setting, if they would re-enter it alive at all. Business-wise, I've been dealing with clients and trying to, sell and buy homes during very challenging times because certainly, the ebb and flow of real estate isn't the same as it has been before. And all of those things in combination eventually become excuses for not hitting the record button. Always something comes up. The challenge is that for me, this podcasting is a skill that I've developed over time. It doesn't come easy to me. And like with any skill that you develop, if you stop doing it, you lose the ability to do it correctly, to do it easily. I am by no means the greatest podcaster in the world, but I have the feedback that I've gotten over the months is that I'm getting better and that people enjoy listening to my point of view on certain things, that they look forward to the topics that I shared. And so much so that I'm invited to go on to other people's podcasts, which for instance, I was just on a few days ago. But the ability to sit here and record with you, I've lost because I procrastinated too much. So the point of this recording is not so much to give you, a great take on something that has happened as of late, but more than anything to implore you that this pandemic fools you into thinking that you have all the time in the world to get back to the gym, to continue learning that language, to learn that instrument. Whatever challenge you had set forth yourself when this whole thing started back in the beginning of 2020, if you have lulled into not continuing it because every single day seems the same, I think that's a mistake on your part, and I would implore you to get back to it. It is important that you get back on track and that you not lose the hard-earned abilities that you have gained months before. Now, I am looking outside my window, and typically we have these gorgeous skies. And today, all it is yellow. We're not as bad as Oregon, but we're pretty darn bad here, so close to the foothills, near Pasadena, California. And everything that you see around you is yellow. And you walk outside and the smell, think of a campfire. I mean, think in that smoke that's constant and that follows you as you sit around, the rest of your friends, and every now and then it hits you, it envelops you, and you can't get away with it. It makes your eyes burn. Well, that is the skies currently where I live. We went camping over the Labor Day weekend to a fantastic place. It's the typical camping trip that we do with about five families and all the children, and we were at a place that in Ojai, California, that was super hot, but we were lucky that we were down by a creek that lowered the temperatures considerably. And for 2.5 days, really, we spent the day by the water's edge, just drinking, talking, laughing, seeing the kid, letting the kids run out as much as they wanted, noting that some of them have grown dramatically over the course of the last 6, 7 months because we haven't seen them, in that now our little babies that used to, run around the campfire, and we would watch out that they weren't going to fall over themselves, and they had to be constantly supervised. Now they could be sent out to, anywhere they wanted to within a relative distance, and we could lose them for a couple of hours, and that meant that they were going to be all right, and they would come back okay. And it was a wonderful feeling to a certain degree to be a parent with middle schoolers and high schoolers who just doesn't have to worry because they've raised great kids and they're among great kids. So it really was a break from the everyday, the every pandemic day that we have around here. It was a going back to a time of just carelessness and cool weather, great conversation with friends from a long time, and marking the anniversary of this camping trip that has now taken place over 10 years. And camping trips that myself, my wife, my kids have been part of for all of those 10 years. A decade worth of camping with five families. It's a tradition that I wouldn't trade for the world. But on the last morning there, as we were camping up and saying our heartfelt goodbyes, and we were getting ready to go on the road and preparing for kids who might get seasick, and because even though they're big, they still have little stomachs. In the back, and then on the north side of us from the campground, we started to notice that the skies were already changing. And when you live in Southern California, you become familiar with the characteristics of wildfires, and you knew something was coming. And so we were kind of glad to get out of there and go back to our home, which, although it's no stranger to those fires, we haven't had one in a while, at least so close to us. And so we left Ojai and started heading south towards Los Angeles, the Pasadena area. And after 2.5 hours of driving, we noticed that A, the smoke had not dissipated, but in fact, it was getting stronger closer to home. I mean, if you're ever driving on the freeway and you know where your home is relative to anywhere else, you kind of have an idea where things are headed. And that's exactly what we saw, this plume of smoke, not quite, behind the foothills of our home, but enough for us to realize if that thing climbs and goes under a few valleys, it's right on top of us. But over the course of the many, many years that we've been in this home, about 20 years now, we've never really had to deal with anything that close. We've had it to the south of us. We've had it to the east of us. We've had it to the west of us. We've never really had it on top of us. And for a long, long time, we have been told here in our little town of Monrovia that we were overdue. So as we're getting off the freeway, we're starting to notice that, A, the temperatures had been very hot just a couple of days prior. I think we had seen that temperature numbers as far as 115 Fahrenheit. I don't know what Celsius is, but it's pretty darn hot. And the moment we drove into our driveway, we noticed all the ash that had collected on our plants, on the cars that we had left behind, and on our windowsills. And the smell of smoke was there. It wasn't as thick as it is right now, but it was certainly there. We went about our day unpacking the trip and whatnot, but by the afternoon, I started taking the first few photographs of the fires as they were atop of a foothill that I know is quite far away. But realizing that without anybody there to stop it, our firefighting crews, without any real fire breaks, without any dumps of water from the plains that are typical to this type of situation, that fire was going to roar right over that hill and then head down onto the valley and again snake its way, lurch its way onto us. That was Sunday. That was Monday. I'm sorry. Now it's Friday. And sure enough, that has happened. I was actually surprised that it was as low as it did, but eventually that fire has continued to overtake hill after hill after hill, and it's now closer to our home than before. Now, I don't want to sound like an alarmist. I don't want to scare you. We are way lower down in the foothills. It would have to chew through so much to get to us. But when I say chew through a lot, we're meaning homes and residences and stables and property that is occupied by humans. So although I feel relatively safe, I am very well aware that just a mile and a half from us, there are people who are really thinking about the contingency plan for getting out of Dodge in the event that the winds were to kept up, the Santa Ana winds that so far have kept pretty chill. It's so weird to start posting photos after being away for a couple of days. And for the outpouring of support, help, support, checking in, asking if you've done, you know, any preparedness before. And I've had folks all the way out from New Zealand reach out and say, "Hey, listen, we're thinking about you." It's fantastic. It's wonderful. And I don't ever want to make it sound like I am posting what I post because I am looking for attention over a tragedy. I'm not. The way that I consider my Twitter feed, my Instagram feed, my Facebook feed at moments like this, it's whatever information I can gather from my community, I want to put it out there so that others know. Because maybe I'm too nosy, but because I want to be in the fray of knowing what's going on so that I can prepare my family. But if also, what's the point of me holding on to that info if I can pass that on to anybody else? So I'm not looking for the likes more than anything. I'm looking to let other people know that this is a situation as I know it. And try to be responsible in what I disseminate. Because I would never want to be a spark, no pun intended, for creating a panic in the area that I live. So I really try to make sure that my sources are correct, that if I'm looking at something on the Twitter machine, that it's coming from people that I trust, that I've known for a long time, because the information that I'm resharing onto my other social media needs to be as correct as possible. And also, and this is something where my wife and I differ, that if I'm going to give testimony about what I'm seeing, that it has to be live testimony, meaning that I have driven to places where it's relatively safe to take footage and video of what it is that I'm seeing, and letting those that follow me know this is what's going on. If there's a plus to social media, I think that's a plus, is the ability for community members to tell others this is what's going on within our streets. But it's interesting to me that yet again this 2020, I am sitting here recording an episode for you about another disaster that I continue to feel safe about, but that I know that others are worrying about. When the pandemic first started way back in the beginning of the year, I recorded about the fact that I feel relatively safe in the fact that I am a healthy 42-year-old man, and that I have kids who are in their middle school ages, and so they're healthy and they're fine. And so should this coronavirus hit, by all logic, everything that we have been told, all that we are privy to, the evidence that's out there, is that we should survive it. If we haven't had it already, because nobody knows. One of the things that we talked about around the campfire is that a lot of people thought that they were sick with something inexplicable in the beginning of the year, and who knows if they have it or not. That's conjecture. I don't know. But here I am again, talking about an event that I am helpless to do anything about outside of just prepping my own family, and that I know that others around us are hurting, others around us might be hurting here soon. And I think about what sacrifices I would be willing to make for fellow Americans. I'm recording this on September 11, 2020, many, many years after the attacks in New York, in Washington, at the Pentagon. And I'm trying to think back about that day, and I'm trying to think back about the days after. And the calls for unity that we had for people. Again, talk about another event that there was nothing I could do. I could only watch from afar. But I remember a small, brief period of time when Americans were unified, and not necessarily in hatred and anger. Yes, there was that. We had been attacked by some foreign thing that we, most of us, didn't know. And I was only a kid then, so I knew even less. But we had been attacked. But all I knew is that for a few brief moments, neighborhoods came together. We didn't know where the threat was coming from, so we banded together, as corny as it sounds. I have my issues with New York just because it's fun to poke at New York because I'm an LA guy. But New York was also my city then, and I cared about what was going on with those people. We were all looking at the telly and seeing the reports coming in of the towers and the people that were being found and the heroism of the first responders and the and news reporters that were out there trying to give us some semblance of the tragedy and also find out exactly how this happened to our country, who's supposed to have the greatest might of power anywhere, and yet that we were attacked so effectively by an enemy, again, that none of us really knew about. And then we swore to each other that we would never forget the day. That we would never forget what we felt towards one another that day. That the lives that were lost on the planes, at the buildings, that they would not be in vain, that America would come out stronger as a country because of it. And I posited this on the Twitter machine a few days ago, that I think that we did forget. All the evidence that I have from seeing what our fellow Americans are saying and doing to fellow Americans leads me to believe that we did forget. As a society, the terrorist attacks were meant to create terror. Terror, unfortunately, then creates divisions because you don't know who you can trust. I tend to give my fellow Americans the benefit of the doubt. I'm one of those people that, you gotta at least bite me once. I mean, yes, I have my gut, but for the most part, I like to think that not everybody's out to get me. My wife and I have this conversation about, what's the first impression you get when somebody's wearing one of those Make America Great hats. And I recoil. That is my honest first reaction. I recoil. But then I've had very few, but they have happened. I've had conversations with people, and we realize that we're not all that different. We're all want primarily the same things. We just happen to fall into different tribes, and our tribes, we are told, aren't meant to get along with one another. And so we're supposed to be at odds. And what I found is that sometimes if I give folks the benefit of the doubt, I might find that they might be a conversation or two away from not necessarily joining my side, because again, that would be tribalist, but they would be a couple of point, talks away from realizing, hey, this we have commonality. So maybe I need to rethink some of my positions. And in doing so, we would band together closer than we have been. But the terrorist attacks and the rhetoric that has come from our own leaders, and I'm not saying that's a Republican thing, that's a Democrat thing. I am saying that the political class in America has put out so much rhetoric out there dividing the country that now we don't know who to trust as a whole. Again, individually, there's communities, and for instance, I'm very proud of ours. We're rallying, but as a country, we don't know who to trust. The mere fact that somebody has a D in front of their name or an R in front of their name, if they call themselves progressives, or if they identify themselves Antifa, or if they are Black Lives Matter, or if they're Proud Boys, whatever title you want to give, all of a sudden means that we have all of these different factions that have to and must fight each other because that's the way we are told rhetoric-wise that we're supposed to do. And with that division, you can't help but lose the lessons that we learned in September 11, 2001. That we were supposed to be one country. That we were supposed to be a set of people that, yes, differed in race, in sexualities, in gender, but that at the end of the day, we were Americans, and Americans are supposed to be a source of good in the world. You know, that's, I guess that's the irony of the MAGA slogan, make America great. If you look at our history, America has a real checkered past. As a fan of history, you realize that there have been ugly stains throughout our nation's past. Slavery was not the only one. That we have not shed that original sin. We've forgotten, and it's sad to say that you realize that more and more on the commemoration of one of the most horrific events that has ever taken on American soil. We've forgotten who we are. But as individuals, I don't think we have. I know I haven't. I feel closer to my fellow community members than ever before. I'm still Coach Torres, and I'm still in the PTAs. And people still reach out to me and saying, hey, listen, this is the person that I'm thinking, for the local school board. Can you talk to them? Can you interview them? Can you let me know what you think? Because I appreciate your opinion. I'm the guy that's out there making videos for the community so that they know what I know, as little as it is. You know, my children are part of a small band of kids that have grown up friends and who can hang out and talk and who will hopefully learn that there is a better way to go about things. That suspicion of your fellow man isn't necessarily the way to go. I'm the guy that translates for people in my community because I want to make sure that people that may not have the communication and the language skills to fight for themselves have somebody that will do that for them. I do all of that because I want to be a positive member, and that hopefully my example will spur others to go out to their communities and help as well. And the more I do what I do, the more that I notice that there is a lot of folks out there that are doing that, and that gives me hope. And in that sense, I can feel confident in telling you that I, myself, Hugo, has never forgotten 9/11. Not the lessons that we were supposed to have learned. And if you have forgotten them, you can always go back. This is the time to remember what we wanted to be. And then exercise who that person is supposed to be like. compassion is not a given. Compassion is a skill. Caring for others is not a given. Caring for others is a skill. And just like this podcasting, if you take a break for too long, you forget that skill because you've stopped exercising it. What I am telling you, what I'm imploring you to do today on this September 11, 2020, or whenever you hear this recording, is to re-engage, to start re-exercising those muscles of compassion and care and community advocacy and make a difference to not just yourselves, but to others. And if enough of us do that, then we will make this country great. There's no going back. But let's try to move forward. Let's help each other out. Peace.